You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
So Ster Kinnecore announced that they would be embarking on a Section 189, which is retrenchments, restructuring, and or essentially what it means is there's going to be a lot of job losses. They plan on closing down, I believe it's 9 of their cinemas, with the potential to close down a further 8 in the future, depending on their performance. Just a bit of a recap around that. If you remember, Ster Kinnecore had a bit of trouble in the pandemic. Coming out of the pandemic, there was a venture capital fund in the UK that put in 250 million rand to get the business out of business rescue. It seems as though that might not have been enough. Nonetheless, I thought it would be a good opportunity to look at the cinema industry in South Africa. We reached out to Ster Kinnecore to ask them to comment and provide us with some context around what's happening, and they said they've issued a statement. They will not comment beyond that. But a gentleman that would comment around what's happening in the cinema industry is a gentleman by the name of AB Musa, and he joins me in studio. He's the CEO of the Avalon Group. That might not sound familiar to you, but that is the Cine Center cinemas that you're seeing in Killarney, in Suncoast, and all over the country. Good evening, AB. Thanks so much for taking the time and the effort to come to studio.
Good evening, Jimmy. No, thank you very much for inviting me to be a part of this program.
I want to. The cinema industry has been much like the retail space. Everybody got affected by COVID, but I guess for you guys, it was so much harder those 2 years when we were under level 5 lockdown because you couldn't have a single person in your cinemas, right? So that would have been a life changing thing to never have experienced that. And you and I were just chatting about it. Avalon having been a business that's been around for over 80 years, that was a new experience.
So it certainly was a new experience in my lifetime. I'm sure that for my forebears, they had different challenges, my grandfather and my father, in terms of the legacies of apartheid and other challenges that our business had to face. But yes, in terms of the COVID, it was certainly the first for, I think, the entire industry globally. And I think where the challenge was it was not just about the restrictions. It was also about the confused way, in our view, in which it was handled. And I say that because the airlines were allowed to open before us and people would sit right next to each other. They'd have to stand a meter and a half in the queue to check in. And then on the plane, you're like in an enclosed capsule, sitting closer than a cinema seat, to be honest. So there was a lot of mixed messaging, confusing, and obviously people were fearful. It was understandable. So it was a very painful time, and we had blocked every other seat to ensure that there was sufficient space. And then obviously if you were a family unit, you could go to the seats next to each other if you wanted to, but we blocked every other seat to try and find solutions around the system. But yes, it was a very difficult 2 years, no doubt, for the entire industry, both nationally and internationally. But I guess we used that time to also just reassess all our efficiencies and our operational scenarios. We didn't, fortunately, have to be in a situation of business rescue. We honored all our obligations, and I think that comes from a family ethos. We are very well managed, and also my late father used to always teach me many lessons, and he always said, cut your suit according to your cloth. So we maintain that ethos in everything that we do. And in that context, what we did over that time is we started looking at our systems. We implemented a lot of artificial intelligence in our operational systems because I'm a firm believer in cinema, and I didn't think that this now COVID meant the end of cinema. And the obituary of cinema has been written and rewritten so many times. When it was the advent of TV, then it was the advent of DVDs and other platforms. Now you've got streaming, which is pretty much TV and DVD on steroids in a different way. So there's a place in the sun for all of these platforms. But I'm a firm believer in cinema, and I believe that when it does come back, it'll come back. And so we use that time optimally to implement systems that have proven to be very efficient in our post-pandemic operational systems at our business. And that's been, I think, very positive for us.
So, AB, what is the state of cinema now? Because you touched on something very important around streaming. Are we in the post-pandemic era? Are we back at recovery levels? Are you still seeing volumes return to cinema? How is streaming challenging that? And, I mean, guys like Ster Kinnecore that have a brand that they've built over many, many years, a brand you've had to challenge and fight to compete against, are now saying they're going through Section 189s, and you're saying we're fine. We've managed and we've adapted the business. What's the state of the cinema industry at the moment?
So the state of the cinema industry is certainly we're not back to pre-pandemic levels, but it's on a trajectory of recovery. So it might be taking a lot longer than many would like it to take, but it's on the right direction. And yes, there were certain factors that came into play post the pandemic. Obviously, the retail space in general is facing a lot of headwinds. And so consumers are stressed with inflation, and obviously that does limit disposable income. So that does create a challenge for people to do those things that they want to do. But human beings are very social creatures, and they want to go out, they want to interact. And cinema is one of those shared experiences where we sell escapism for a few hours. And I think where that's very positive in the stressful times that we're living in is we basically selling an escapism. And it's really about how you make that experience for customers as beneficial as possible. So the state is that it's coming back over a longer period of time than I think we'd anticipated, but it's still in the right trajectory. And the streaming platforms are there, but it's not like they all are hugely sitting in the money. So yes, they've got a presence, but each of those platforms are hungry lions. Unless you keep on feeding them with content, which comes at a big cost. Mm. It's also a very challenging environment. So it's really about managing that process. What we did as a business in terms of the inflationary challenge is we've bundled all our products, whether it's our movie tickets or our refreshments, with a whole set of rewards for everyday items like groceries and fast foods and massages and a whole variety of things, which all the rewards exceed the value of what you purchase, which for us we found very beneficial because effectively we made our ticket for free because the value is so much bigger than the purchase of our ticket.
I like that you bring that up, AB, because my next question was going to be, why is escapism so expensive? Because if we look at the cost of going to the movies, there's obviously the ticket cost and everything, but a lot of the guys, and I found this as well personally, is the confectionery and the snack side of it is also just as expensive. Why am I paying for popcorn the same sort of margins that I'd pay for a drink at a club? What goes into that?
So I think that obviously it's part of the nature of the business. I don't perceive cinema as expensive, and I'll tell you why I say that. If you look at the experience and the offering in terms of the price that's paid, I've been to many events. I've been to concerts where you pay a couple of thousand rand. I see people paying thousands, and even the cheapest ticket is 300-400 rand for a concert or a comedy show or those type of platforms. So I don't think that it's really that expensive. Obviously, where we've mitigated it is, in our case, if you buy a box of popcorn for 50 rand, you're going to get 1,000 rand in back-end rewards. So you're getting 20 times back in everyday rewards for clothing and other items. But I really do believe that people want those experiences and they don't mind paying for it within the right context. Obviously, yes, we're living in more stressful inflationary times. But then if you look at other experiences and other events, whether it's, as I said, live shows, comedies, they are pricey. And as you identify the margins, even when you buy a beverage, I think the same question could be asked, why is restaurant eating significantly expensive? Yeah. It's obviously human beings want to have social experiences. Mm-hmm. And it's really about, and ironically, it's actually the more premium experiences, not only in South Africa, but globally, the more premium experiences is the one that's proving to be more attractive. So in terms of the luxury seating and the other benefits that come with that. Mm. And those people want to spend, but they want the experience. So that's really my view.
Yeah, you and I were chatting about this a little before we started the conversation around the fact that from a pricing perspective, the business has to make a certain amount of money, obviously.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's nonsensical to be charging people 200-400 rand for a seat in a cinema, whatever the price is at this point.
Yeah.
If your cinemas remain empty, we've seen a lot of guys, and possibly Stokinico might be included in this, not adapting their model to say, I'd rather take a little bit less revenue, but be able to fill up my cinema. Is there some sort of industry-wide conversation we're not aware of where we say, this is what we're willing to charge. We're not willing to go below this because then it's not financially viable. Because, I mean, you guys have a really good half-price special or whatever, and you can afford to charge something like 46 Rand on a budget Tuesday, whereas another cinema house might say, our budget Tuesday is 90 Rand.
Yeah, so I think each cinema group has to base their pricing model on the constraints or dynamics of their personal circumstances. We can't collectively engage as an industry because that would be anti-competitive. Mm-hmm. And we certainly, as Avalon, want to be very competitive. We've come from that legacy of addressing competition issues even in the industry. So our pricing model has always been more competitive than everybody in the market. And that model has worked for us. I think the challenges that are being faced by others are company specific, and they've got their own dynamics. As per the company you mentioned, they were in business rescue, we were not. They've come out of the pandemic, they've got a whole different scenario going on. But I'm still a very firm believer in the cinema space. I do believe audiences want to come out, they want the entertainment. And recently we've had big films like the Kung Fu Pandas, to name them, one of the more recent ones, and Dune, that have done really well. And there's a good slate coming out in the second half of the year. The issue of load shedding has been there, but that's been there since 2007. Most of us have worked around it. I mean, we don't have, none of our cinemas get affected by load shedding. Yes, it's an extra cost because of diesel towards the generator, but the customers don't even know it's happened because we put certain technologies during COVID time, even on our projectors, so that our projectors have a backup, so that even the transition between when the power goes off and the load shedding kicks in, our UPSs take over to keep the experience. So it's really about making that experience comfortable. I don't know whether others have adopted that, but it's really about doing those type of things that can basically make the customer experience happier.
Load shedding proof your business, or future proofing your business, so to speak.
Yes.
We touched on this as well, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Sterkinico has announced they're closing 9 cinemas. There's a potential to close 8. Where there is challenge, there is also opportunity. Are you looking to expand?
I agree. Yes, well, there's been some engagements that are taking place, and we'll certainly see. I mean, I think it depends on a case-by-case basis, but we certainly believe that there could be opportunities that would be healthy. And it's not just from our business point of view, but for servicing areas that need to be serviced. So we'll certainly have a look at it on a case-by-case basis and see what transpires.
Well, there you have it, folks. The cinema industry is not dead. It's alive and well, and it depends on how you're navigating it. We'll leave it at that. AB, thanks so much for coming through. That is AB Musa, CEO of the Avalon Group. That's the group that owns the CineCentre cinemas around South Africa, joining me to just reflect on the state of the cinema industry in South Africa at the moment.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.